Let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.
And a very good morning to you. Happy glorious Saturday. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I am Tiffany Bacon, and this is Praise in the City. Again, we'll have another fantastic discussion for you. Before we actually get into the topic of the day, I do want to acknowledge the fact that the verdict came down yesterday in the Sandusky trial, and he was found guilty on, I believe it was 46 of 48 counts. So interesting. I'll post a question on our Facebook page. I would love to hear your answers to that question. That is not the focus of our conversation today, though. However, today's focus is about how families manage when a key family member, the keystone of the family, passes away, when it's the matriarch or patriarch of the family, whoever it is that is the glue that holds you all together, keeps things moving. When that person passes, how do you as a family manage? Do you come together? Do you fall apart? Do the issues that were existed prior to the death blow up, or are you able to get past it? We're going to talk about that this morning, and we have a very special guest who is a playwright and wrote a play about this exact subject. But in the meantime, we're going to get things started with a bit of inspiration. Enjoy.
Waking me up and starting me on my way, for letting me see the dawning of a brand new day. I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for all.
Really do.
so good to me. Lord, I bless your name. I give you glory and praise. I thank you for all you've done. I thank you for all you've done. When I was sick in my body, didn't know I was gonna get well. Lord, you healed me. And now I can tell. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh,
awesome, awesome, awesome way to start off the show. Good morning, good morning. This is Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM. I thank you so much for joining me today. As I mentioned a few moments ago, our focus today is on how does your family respond when a key member passes away, that person who is the glue of the family, the person who keeps you all together, who keeps the peace in a lot of cases, if there are family members who just seem to be at odds and have always been at odds ever since they could talk. And when that person passes away, how does the rest of the family manage? How do you manage the business of the family? How do you manage the relationships in the family? And I want to ask you, the listening audience, that question. How does your family, how has your family managed when a key figure has passed away? Did it stir up more craziness, more outrageousness, more dissent? Or were you able to come together and get over the hurt, the pain, and the obstacles of the past? So give us a call and share your story, share your thoughts. 215-263-1039. 215-263-1039. Joining me in studio is a playwright and a very, very nice young lady. And she's written a play called The Repast, which covers this exact topic. And she can speak a little bit about what it is we have going on today on the show. Brianna Michelle, good morning, lady. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
All right. Hey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Let's first start off with the play itself. What made you write a play about this subject? Because it is heavy and it does touch all of us at some point in our lives.
Well, there was actually a few things, few reasons that kind of inspired me to write this type of play. Mm-hmm. For one thing, I find that death is something that is really relatable. Mm-hmm. Across the board with most people. You know, with me, when I was 10, that was my first time experiencing death. Mm. And it was with my grandmother. And I just remember just different things within the family that took place in so many different changes. And it can really rock a family. It changes the dynamic of the family without that person, that key figure being there. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just wanted to explore that because it is a play, it is dramatized, mm-hmm. but it's not unrealistic.
Right.
And that's what I found just from feedback. This is the second run, the second time that we're doing this production, mm-hmm. but it seemed like the feedback that we got the first time was just about how a lot of people had or either currently were dealing with this situation. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much my inspiration for centering around that theme of loss.
Okay.
Interesting.
You said when you were 10 years old was the first time you experienced death. Who was it that passed away, and what happened to your family when that happened?
Well, it was my grandmother on my mother's side. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was just really different because we used to eat like Sunday dinner at mm-hmm. my grandmother's house. So we didn't have that anymore. Mm-hmm. After a while, no one lived in that unit where my grandmother lived. Okay. And we couldn't go there anymore. So to me, it was really weird. I would find myself kind of forgetting that she was gone a lot, which, you know, we do have a 10-year-old child character in the play, and she kind of goes through that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But just in terms of, I remember kind of just looking at the adult family members, like mm-hmm. my mother, my uncles and everything, and just kind of seeing how much it affected them
mm-hmm.
and seeing my mom not have her mom. And when you're a child, you don't really realize that grown-ups need their parents too.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that was something that really opened my eyes mm-hmm. at a young age. And it kind of, it just let me realize that life is not forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something to really, just something really eye-opening.
It's a very sobering thought, especially for a 10-year-old.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that. I had a similar experience when my aunt passed away. I also was 10.
Oh, wow.
That was my first experience with death, unfortunately, but the earlier experiences were so early that I don't really have much of a memory. I just knew that Pop wasn't there anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he wasn't coming back.
Right.
So it was just that kind of, oh, mm-hmm. okay, Pop's not coming back.
Right.
But by the time I was 10, I could really like understand what it all meant. So it was a very different situation. So my question for my listening audience, again, good morning. Thank you for joining me. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. What has happened in your family? How has your family managed the death of a key figure, the cornerstone, the keystone of the family? If that person has not yet passed, amen, that's good. If that person has not yet passed, how do you think your family would behave when that eventually does happen? Do you think whatever strife and issues that are going on in the family, do you think they will blow up? Will they get worse? Or will you be able to come together? Let's talk about it this morning. 215-263-1039 or just call 215-263-1039. That is the best number to reach us this morning. So when you think about the people who've seen your show, the first run of it, and it was when, last year?
Yes, it was last September mm-hmm. as part of the Philly Urban Theater Festival.
Okay. When people first watched the play, what sense did they give you? Like, what emotions did they express that they had when they watched it?
Well, it was different for different people. Mm-hmm. But overall, I got a sense of comfort because they related to the family members, and it kind of made it feel like they're not alone. Like, okay, this is my story as well.
Okay.
And it's good to be able to see this on the stage.
Right.
A lot of people felt that, it was just really realistic because with the two sisters, Terry and Pearline, mm-hmm. a lot of times sad to say you do have family members going at odds as soon as you bury that key figure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it could be over, you know, money, mm-hmm. the way money is spent, or property, mm-hmm. as it is in the in our play.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people really related to that aspect of it, that mm-hmm. Rivalry amongst family members and how it can really make it worse and bring mm-hmm. it out.
How much is the money an issue? Whether it's did the person leave a will? How much the insurance is going to cover the funeral costs and the upkeep of the house if there is a house involved? Things of that nature. How big of a deal is that money for a lot of the people that you talk to?
I think it's a big deal. At the same time, I think that it's other issues that may have been brewing for years and
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like this one life-changing event occurs, and it just multiplies those ill feelings. So it kind of maybe makes it even bigger than it may have been. If you feel like, well, all these years, this person hasn't been holding up their responsibilities to take care of mom or grandmom or whoever it is, then it's kind of like now you feel like they have a responsibility to do what's right. And everyone doesn't do what's right all the time. But I mean, in the world of the play, sometimes you see with the character of Terry, she just doesn't have the means. She has issues that she's gone through with being a recovering drug addict and everything like that. So that can also stir up a lot.
Okay, we're going to get into that too. We're going to get into that. But let's definitely take some phone calls. Looking forward to hearing your commentary, your response, your comments, and your questions about today's topic. We are discussing what happens when a key family member passes away. How does your family respond if that key figure has not yet passed away? Just knowing your family the way you know them, how do you think they will respond? Will it be helter skelter or will it be kumbaya? What will it be? So give us a call, 215-263-1039. Let's speak with Lance calling in from West Philadelphia. Lance, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Breathing on schedule. How are you?
All right. Awesome. I just happened to been flicking through the station, and I heard the subject this morning. I can deal with that also. I lost my brother in 07, and he was like the glue to my family. And it literally took us 2 years for the whole family just to kind of get back to some type of normalcy.
And what was going on? What made it take so long?
I think just the shock of it. My brother had passed away from sleep apnea. So he died in his sleep. So it just seemed like the whole family unit just kind of split. Nobody really was talking. Family dinners on Sundays were not even the dinners no more. Then everybody stopped going. His wife. Nobody didn't want to talk to his wife. The family didn't even want to deal with her because she was doing her own thing. It was just crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. There's like the whole family unit. Everything just kind of turned upside down.
And so what was it that eventually brought you guys back together?
His kids.
Okay.
Because his kids was going down. Like right now, his youngest son is still dealing with the pain of losing his father, so it was kind of brung us all back together to kind of, okay, we got to get over our own little problems just to bring his kids back into the family fold because there's no type of family unit at their own house.
Got you. Well, the one thing I am going to say is I'm glad that you guys were able to come back together. That's very important, and I'm glad you guys were able to overcome the stress and strain of the loss. So that's good to know.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate the call.
Have a good day.
All right. You do the same. Bye-bye. And it just seems like, Brian, it just seems like, you know, that is an unfortunate regular occurrence.
It is. It is, sad to say. And I think the interesting thing that he just said was the children kind of brought it back together, which, you know, I always say when a baby is born or a person dies, it can bring out the best or the worst in a family. Mm. And a lot of times it is the children who can bring things back together, fortunately. So, you know, it's sad, but it is reality.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. I know we have another caller on line two. Let's speak with Helene on line two. She's calling in also from West Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks, and yourself?
All right, doing just fine. What's your comment?
Well, my comment about the family situation, I was listening all morning while I'm doing a little house cleaning. And I feel like this, like my family, we've been through a lot. Like one of my first cousins was shot and killed in the church van coming from a service.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and it was very painful for my family, which is the Johnson family. We've been through a lot, like, you know, then another cousin passed and another cousin passed and they all were shot and killed here in Philadelphia.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
Yes.
So how are you guys managing?
We Well, it's hard to manage as a family now because I grew up with my cousin Afish Johnson. Mm-hmm. And he was always, like, a big inspiration for me, like, always in the church and always, like, going to church and motivating me. And when he passed, it really discouraged me. Mm. And it discouraged my whole family. I can see the difference in my family now right. than before.
And what do you think it's going to take to get back together to be what you were? Or do you think you'll ever be what you were?
I don't to be honest, I don't ever think that we will be where we were until probably when we're, I guess, all in heaven together. Because it seems like down here on earth, we can't function right, no matter how hard we try, you know. And I'm at the point now where I'm ready to give up on being with my family because it's like they always hurting me and saying hurtful things to me. And there's always an argument, always some type of conflict or confusion, you know, when we try to come together as a family.
I am nobody's psychologist, therapist, or counselor, but I will ask, have you guys tried counseling as a family?
Well, we haven't, and I think that's something that we probably should do, you know, because there have been 3 deaths in our family, and they all were shot and murdered in Philadelphia, like I said once again.
Mm-hmm.
So we could use something.
Well, I mean, individually and as a group, you all have experienced a trauma, so that's something that has to be addressed for your own personal mental health and well-being. Each one of you should speak to someone just to kind of, you know, release that pent up frustration, anger, anybody that might have guilt or whatever that's going on for your own selves. I would suggest that. But then as a family unit, before you give up on them, just make a suggestion, maybe call a family meeting and bring that up, you know, see a Christian counselor or a family therapist, someone just to see what else can be done before everybody just completely breaks off.
Right. And it's not, you know, it's not really everybody. They not all breaking off. It's really me. I feel like the black sheep out of the family because I'm not accepted. My family don't accept my lifestyle, you know, and I don't know what else to do. You know, I've tried, I prayed about it, and I'm just at the point now where I really don't even want to be around my family no more because I can't take the hurt no more.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we have to go to break, but I really want you to strongly consider having a family meeting. And finding a family therapist and really as a unit going to someone and talking about what's going on emotionally and spiritually with your family. Okay.
Right. Thanks. And another thing I wanted to mention, my grandmother was recently fell at work and we had to go to the hospital to make sure she was okay. She did break one of her bones in her arm.
Oh, wow.
And when we got to the hospital, I was very concerned because my grandmother never goes to the hospital. She don't even like hospitals.
Mm.
So when we got there, the whole family was everybody that cared showed up, like my aunt, my mom, my sister, her kids. But, you know, like I was just thinking when y'all said the topic this morning, how would I ever feel if my grandmother wasn't here?
Right.
You know, because she's the one that keeps the family together.
Mm. Mm.
And this was recently when we went to the hospital for my grandmother. This was about a week and a half ago.
Okay, well, we're going to pray for you and for your entire family and, of course, for your grandmother who is in the healing process right now. And thank you so much for the phone call.
Yes.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. God bless.
God bless you
God
as well.
Bless.
You're listening to Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM. I know we have Latoya and Allegra on the line. We are going to come right to you. We want to hear from you if you're not on the line just yet. We're talking about how would you manage if the key figure in your family passed away? Would the family just completely break apart, get helter-skelter, or would you all have a kumbaya moment and come together? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Praise in the City will return right after this.
Now, back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to the second half of Praise in the City. So listen, here's my plea to you, my dear friends. If you're on the social network Facebook, which is my personal favorite social network, please find our page and like us. Stay abreast of the different things that are going on. I'll post all kinds of interesting information. So please follow that. Just follow us on Facebook. We are Praise in the City. All right. All right. We have Brianna Michelle, who is the playwright of the performance, the play, The Repast, which is coming to town in a couple of weeks. And it is the centerpiece of our topic of conversation today, which is what happens when a key family member passes away. Will your family member survive as unit survive as one solid unit? Or will all the underlying issues that have been going on for years surface and then break you all apart? That is our topic of discussion. We're going to hear a little bit more about the play, but I want to go back to the phones. If you would like to comment on today's topic, please feel free to give us a call. 215-263-1039 is the number to reach us. Let's go to Allegra calling in from North Philadelphia on line 5. Allegra, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good, good. How are you?
Good, good.
Awesome. What's your comment, ma'am?
Yes, well, I just wanted to share, I heard you speaking with the young lady who has the play about The Repast, and
yes.
Your question about losing someone precious in the family, and mm-hmm. I was just speaking with the Lord in the car, actually, and mm-hmm. This is 1 year since my grandmother has passed.
Mm.
Quite tragic. I'm actually on the way out of town this year. We're celebrating. We're on our way to get a cruise.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. Wow. But last year, you know, my grandmother, she was she had a severe reaction to a medication that she was taking, and mm-hmm. ended up coming down with Stevens-Johnson's disease, and then the severe form of that, TENS disease, and which is which she was put in Temple University's burn unit for about mm-hmm. a week and a half, and just it looked like what appeared to be burns all over her body, and those
wow.
burns were actually internal as well, and so mm-hmm. it just poisoned her intestines and mm-hmm. her, all of her systems there, and so you know it was extremely hard, extremely hard, and you know mm-hmm. still we're grieving. I've mm-hmm. had some family members that have had to go through counseling because of that. My grandmother, affectionately known to the family as Hattie,
mm-hmm.
but Hattie, she was always there for us. I mean, she for my sister, my cousin, and I, she picked us up from school. We were there with her during the summer, so we were extremely close with my grandmother. And mm-hmm. so to lose that person suddenly,
yeah.
Was very tragic to the family. And but you know, mm-hmm. we had to stand on the word of God. I remember my sister in this situation. Like I would lose it a few times during this time. It was about a week and a half, and I would just go in my room and cry. And my mm-hmm. sister, she said I was literally in my room boxing and just. Mm-hmm. Standing on the word of God, saying my scriptures. When we would come into the hospital room, we would read to my grandmother. But I realize now that that reading and that praying was just as much for myself as it was for my grandmother.
Yes.
And praise God, we had a great staff at Temple who would, they heard us when we would pause or when we would stop, and they would say, keep reading, keep reading.
Mm.
You know, it was just a great transition, even through the loss with the staff. But you
yeah.
know, it still is hard. And you know,
yeah.
I know people say, and I say this too. I know I'm going to see my grandmother again, but
yeah.
sometimes the realistic point is that I want to see her now.
Yeah, I know, and it's just hard to manage. It is.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You know what? I thank you so much for being open and transparent and sharing your story this morning. I hope it does. Continue the healing process for you and your family, just to talk about it and share, and hopefully it'll offset some healing that's happening for those who are listening right now. So thank you.
Yes.
No problem.
All right. You have an awesome day.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Now, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to line 2 and speak with Rita from West Philadelphia. West Philly is up and ready to talk this morning. I love y'all. Hi, Rita. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm going to say good gospel Saturday morning. That's a tribute to my Uncle Kenny Hughes in the nursing home. He says
okay.
that his greeting is always good gospel day.
Yes. Well, good gospel Saturday morning to you. All right. What's your comment?
Well, thank you, first of all, for just having this dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it's done for me just to hear that,
mm-hmm.
it's just a wake-up call to let me know for my daughter's sake, and something that we take away from our family mm-hmm. when we grow up with our family, and when the matriarch leaves, for whatever difference we had, they made sure they smoothed it out. Mm-hmm. But when they leave, things become rough around the edges to the point that they start to erode to the middle, mm-hmm. where it starts to divide and separate. Yeah. So I'm talking about my beautiful grandmother, Bertha Williams, who came from South, and she was everything to everyone. She wore so many hats. Mm-hmm. She was the marriage counselor. She was the advisor for dating. She was just mm-hmm. everything you needed her to be. She was my best friend. She was my I call her my surrogate mother. Mm-hmm. So when she left, I became very resentful of mm-hmm. her actual daughters, because I felt as though they didn't honor her enough, because the mother I had was a young teenage mother, mm-hmm. and I could see so much richness and so much giving and so much forgiveness, and they didn't appreciate what I seen. Mm-hmm. What I seen in her, they didn't appreciate it, but I did, because I didn't have it. So when she left, and the things that took place in that household, it separated me. I couldn't go in my grandmother's house and feel that mm-hmm. warmth anymore. It was like, it was a chill mm-hmm. when I would go in. And then I guess what I brought to the household wasn't any help either, because I didn't feel the cheerfulness that I wanted them to give me, that my grandma gave me. Mm-hmm. So I stopped going over, because I just couldn't. It was a void that no mm-hmm. one could fill. And I realized that only God. And she was stressed always as, when you have that faith, which was what?
Hello? Oh, no, we lost her. Oh, hopefully you'll be able to call back and finish sharing your story. I'm so sorry. Sound like a drop call. So,
yeah.
All right. So hopefully you'll be able to call back. Let's go to line 4 and speak with Bernadette from Northeast Philadelphia. Bernadette, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm blessed.
All right. Thank you so much for your call. What's your comment?
Well, I just wanted to say that I've dealt with death early on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my parents a year and 6 months apart. Mm-hmm. My husband and I lost our two sons 4 months apart.
Oh, wow.
My mother-in-law came to live with us, and I lost my mother-in-law, and then shortly thereafter, my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And almost immediately after my husband died, our new home burnt down.
Oh, no.
And,
what I would say almost anyone, because it was extremely stressful.
Mm.
And as a Christian, you just try to just lean on the Lord. But the only thing that really, really works, and I'm trying to really condense this, because I've had numerous amounts of people in my life on both sides of my family
mm-hmm.
that were very supportive, and I lost them as well, uncles and aunts that were really there for us. Myself and my siblings, my husband and I brought my siblings in to live with us when we lost our parents. But the only foundation is God.
Yeah.
You have to really, really stay close to the Lord, because no one understands. And sadly, people say things to you like this: you're really strong. You're really strong.
Yeah.
And what that does is it causes you to put up a false strength. When you want to cry, when you want to just come back, say, Lord, you know, this is just too hard.
Yeah.
You don't, because everyone is saying, you're really strong, you're really strong, and you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, you're human. But by the grace and the mercy of God, if you can stay in God's word and you can stay close to him, you'll make it. But it's very, very challenging. I don't know anyone that I don't think it can be done. Without the word of God and without the spirit of God, it just can't be done. And I know that from personal experience.
Right.
And I've only given you a mere tidbit of the death and the loss that I've experienced.
My Lord, I just wanted to say, again, thank you for sharing. That is just unimaginable to me. I applaud your strength. I applaud the fact that you do lean on the word, because, yeah, you need to lean on the word for that. You know, you absolutely do. And I it's amazing how your pain is becoming a testimony to somebody. There's somebody that's listening that's like, wow, yeah, my situation isn't that deep, and maybe I need to pull it together, and maybe I need to stop getting mad at God and going back to church and or whatever the case may be. So thank you so much. I do appreciate your call.
You be blessed.
All right. You do the same. Stay strong. All right. I believe Rita is back on the line. Rita on line two. Hi.
This is Rita again from West Philly.
All right. Yes, I wanted you to finish what you were saying.
The devil won't have the victory.
I know that's right.
The point that I was trying to make about her instilling faith in us, and we all grew up in a Pentecostal church. Trust me, we knew what it was like not to see the sun rise in our neighborhood or see any of our kids on our friends on Sundays because we were in church all day, all day. And we could. What I want to bring here is today, you made me realize that we had so much that we put on my grandmother. She literally was burned out, but she never showed any tiredness because her whole mission and love was about the family. And what we didn't all take away from this was that she wanted us, instill in us now that I showed you guys the way to do this, you all can take part and take turns. And she would do a Saturday night movies, and we would all bring cousins, and we would have a wonderful Saturdays. And now that I took my daughter, she has no connections to my father's side because of my selfishness or my hurt that I took from saying my grandmother wasn't cherished enough, and then I'm saying I have to cherish her memory. Yeah. And listening to what this is about is now saying to you, you still have a way, you still have life, you still have that chance to fix it. So honor her and do what she taught us to do. And now I'm saying it's not too late. My daughter's 18. She needs to know my father's side of the family. Amen. And this has brought to my conscience to say, fix the problem. You're part of the problem now. Be part of the solution.
Amen.
And now try to do what Grandmom taught us. So if I have to have the family gather, get all the kids around, unplug the devices, and understand, and we can talk each other. We can tell on each other for old cousins and aunts that watched me grow. So when my daughter said, well, what were you like when you were a child? She won't hear my version. She'll hear my uncles and aunts. And
yes.
They're going to enjoy something simple, simplistic. And simplicity is what we need back today. We got to go back to the roots.
Absolutely. And Rita, unfortunately, I'm going to have to go to the next caller because we're running really low on time. But I'm glad that you were able to get that from today's program and definitely put those wheels in motion and bring it back to the simplicity that you're talking about. Thank you so much, Rita, for the call.
Have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Let's go to Mrs. Lewis calling in from North Philadelphia. Mrs. Lewis, good morning. You're live on the air. Mrs. Lewis, are you there?
Good morning. Good morning to you and Ms. Stephanie Bacon. I was just listening this morning. In 2003, when my husband died, it was a little change in my son and daughter because their dad was the type that always had been in their life, you know, from the time they came into this world. Mm-hmm. And then when he passed, I seen like a withdrawal like, and my son mainly, he would like withdraw like, be to himself, and change came like he felt through.
Yeah.
He wasn't wanted, or that love was gone. So I watched him because he really did take care of his dad. Then my daughter, she got angry at one time with her husband. I don't know if she, took it out on her husband because her father wasn't here. So the first thing I had to do, I said, Lord, what must I do?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go to the Lord because I saw my children where it was tearing them mental-wise. It was taking them apart, and they didn't have that joy.
Yeah.
So I had to sit there and explain to them, Dad didn't pack up and leave us for another family. It was God's will.
Okay.
My husband went to work one day and took sick and came home. I took him to the doctor. He had cancer all over his body. Mm. We never knew. He never even complained about being sick.
Wow.
And then I said, well, Lord, I had to give me the script as the mother. The brain that's closing together. So through my husband's death, it scripted me, my son, and my daughter, and my grandchildren. And I thank God for that. But we kept moving going because we understand that was the Lord's will. But we would go to the grave and put flowers down. But every once in a while, we get together and we talk about the good times and the bad times. So this would keep us going. But by the grace of the Lord, my son and daughter could face tomorrow, because it really, mental-wise, it bothers them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I look at death, and I've been with my husband since 14 years old. We hate ups, we hate down.
Mm-hmm.
He was my best friend in the world. When I buried him, that was my best friend I buried.
Oh.
But by the grace of the Lord, I kept on going.
Yeah.
And every day we get a little stronger. And I thank God today that
That's
my
awesome.
Son will live to be the father that his dad was. And my daughter is going on with her life and raising her kids. But
That's
when you
awesome.
Lose someone that close, it takes something out the family, you know.
Right.
That boy will always be there, but you got to put the Lord in. When
Amen.
You put God, I have faith in the Lord,
uh-huh.
and this is what keeps us going. And I thank God for your program this morning and
thank
the young
you.
Lady that made the play. See, people don't understand.
Yes.
God has used her to heal
speak
somebody's pain.
That's right. And Mrs. Lewis, I do want to speak with Brianna for a few more moments, because we only have a few minutes left in the show. But I thank you so much for saying that.
Yes, thank you.
And I thank you so much for listening and sharing your story. Thank you, and have a great day. Brianna, I know that, you know, you're hearing a lot of great information
yes.
from people, some feedback. You realize that this is something that is a part of everybody's experience. At some point in life, you're going to lose a loved one. Talk a little bit more about the play. We only have about 4 minutes left. When and where is it happening? I'm happy to say I'm actually in it.
Yes, I'm Yay. Happy to say it as well.
I'm actually in it. I do play an aunt.
Yes.
I play an aunt, Aunt Corny. But so talk a little bit more about the play, how people can experience that, and maybe to bring a tissue or two.
Yes. And also, and not just a tissue, because they will be laughing
that,
as
yes.
well. It's it's laughing and possibly crying. But the Repast, it is going to be showing in Center City, Philadelphia at the Adrian Theater, which is at 2030 Sansom Street. It is going to be playing in 2 weeks from July the 6th through July the 8th. So that's two weekends away from today, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have our opening night, which is July the 6th, a Friday. We have a complimentary opening night reception, which is courtesy of Relish Restaurant as well. So I hope that people can come on out and check it out. But we have four additional shows. The 7th and the 8th, we have a matinee at 2 p.m. and an evening show at 7:30. And tickets can be bought online at www.theartlifeco.com. So that's www.theartlifeco.com. Also, you may call 267-560-7529. That is our ticket line as well. So, yes, I'm just happy to be able to open up this dialogue this morning. It seemed like it really helped a lot of people out, and
yeah.
I'm so happy to have you in the cast.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I'm happy to be there. I'm also happy that people are able to really think about this. It's something that, again, we mentioned, it affects everybody. And if it hasn't happened yet, just hearing what's going on, it might be a good time to have a family meeting to
yes.
just go through the family business, where the papers are,
yes.
the important papers are. Know that. Know if there is a will, so you're not tearing up the house if someone passes away
mm-hmm.
suddenly. It's good to just kind of get over past ills and
yes.
past issues, especially with your siblings. It's a great idea to kind of just bury the hatchet on all that crazy mess.
Yes.
And that is the kind of stuff, if it's not addressed when someone passes away, that's keeping y'all from fighting and keeping things from being a mess. When that person passes away, then it just really blows up, and
it
we
does.
See it happen all the time.
Yes.
All right. So thank you so much for writing the play, for thinking about other people and their pain.
Yes. Thank you for having me, and I'm just happy to just be a vessel for that. So,
amen.
Yes.
Amen. Before we close, I also want to give a big shout out to Linda Richardson and the staff of the Uptown Entertainment and Development Corporation, they had an award ceremony the other night, Thursday night, and they gave me an award. And I say thank you so much for presenting me with that award. I was honored. It was awesome. It was great. The Uptown is doing amazing things. They're raising money to bring this historic theater back to life, and renovations are underway. So much love out to them and to the other honorees, including James Elam, Ursula Rucker, and Senator Shirley Kitchen, and Will Smith. Yes, Philly's own Will Smith. Much love going out to my offsite producer, Donovan West, and my in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Bye-bye.